Morning. Good morning. Good to see you guys on this Friday morning. Let's just turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 15, and we'll just read verse 25 and 26. Acts 15, 25 and 26. Acts 15, 25 to 26. It seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for bringing us this morning to early morning prayer, and I pray that you will help us to just pray and spend some time with you and to hear your word and to be challenged and to be strengthened, God, this morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in our youth group, we're going through the book of Acts, and I was preparing for their Bible study, and we're going to cover Acts 15 this Sunday. But this verse really just kind of stuck out to me, and so I thought I would lead the devotional from this verse today. So it says, "It seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." And this is the way James, who is writing the letter, is describing Barnabas and Paul. Men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought that was so challenging. You know, I was reading it and thinking, would I, you know, if somebody were to describe my life, our lives, would they describe it as someone who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? And, you know, and I got to thinking, is that even something that we need to be striving for? You know, is that what God wants of us? You know what this quote, or this verse reminded me of when Sean Smith was here for our Thanksgiving conference, and he gave a quote. You know, he talked about these men who have given their lives and sacrificed their lives for their faith under the guillotine. And then he said, you know, these men have sacrificed and given up their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, by dying, you know, under the guillotine. And then he says, but we are so afraid of the guillotine of human rejection that we, you know, we don't share the gospel, or we don't talk to people about Jesus Christ because we're so afraid of being rejected by people. And that's, it's a challenge, you know. But this is what Jesus says about discipleship. You know, risking our lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It sounds so hardcore, and it's like, is that something that God wants from every single one of us? And I would say yes. You know, when Jesus talks about following him and being a disciple, this is exactly what he talks about. If we can turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 21 through 27. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds." And this is Jesus talking about discipleship and saying, you know what? If you want to be a disciple of mine, you need to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. And, he's kind of using his life of him, you know, suffering and dying on the cross for us and as an example to follow by saying, well, this is how you guys should be in your obedience to God, you know, in your being a disciple. This is how it should be for you. As I am going on the cross to die for you guys, this is kind of what's expected of you as a follower of mine. And, you know, my father is in town, and he's actually speaking at a conference this weekend with another missionary from China. And he is also speaking at the early morning prayer at this Korean church in Taikoo-shing area. But, you know, their early morning prayer actually begins at 5:30 in the morning. And he says the whole church is packed out. I mean, maybe it's because it's this conference, right? So that's why the church is packed out. But 5:30 in the morning, this Korean church, and the church is packed out. You know, and we meet at 7 o'clock, and it's hard to sometimes. I don't think we can even fill up one row of seats, you know, if we all were to sit at the very front. And, you know, sometimes I think as modern Christianity, our problem is not that we demand too much, or that we ask too much of our followers, our church people, you know, of ourselves as Christians, but that we demand too little. You know, the way Jesus Christ described discipleship and talked about discipleship is giving up our lives, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of, that's the calling that God has given to all of us. You know, it may look different, you know, what that looks like practically in our everyday life. But that call to give up our lives for Jesus Christ is the same for all of us. I was talking to one of my GIC students when we were still having GIC. And we weren't talking about this. We were talking about, you know, that verse in the Bible where Jesus says, No greater love has no one than this, that a man, you know, give up his life for his friend. Right? It's talking about giving up our lives for each other as a symbol of our love, you know. And he said, you know, actually it would be easy to give up your life for somebody. You know, he said, if a train was going to hit me and I was about to die, he said he would have no problem. I mean, he said it would be doable. He said it's possible that he would jump to, you know, get me out of the way so that he gets hit by the train and he dies. Because, you know, once you get hit by the train and you die, you give up your life for somebody, that's it. You know, you die and then you go to heaven and you're with Jesus. But he said what's really difficult is every day while you're still both living to die to your own desires, to die to yourself and to love the other person. You know, not necessarily, because you know what? If it came down to it, maybe I think that it's doable for me to give my life for Jesus Christ. You know, if you're living in a place where persecution comes, and I don't know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I think if it was like life or death and I had to choose Jesus, I think I would choose Jesus and be willing to die. But what's difficult is every day I'm living my life here on this earth. I'm not in a situation where I'm giving, you know, it's life or death situation. But every day I'm called to die to myself. Every day I'm called to die to my own desires, die to my own fleshly longings and tendencies, and to live for Jesus Christ. And that's what's called of all of us. And it looks different for each of us, but that's the calling that we've received. And, you know, we all have a natural tendency towards comfort, you know, and convenience. That's why it's so difficult to exercise or to get up out of bed, you know, because it's so comfortable, especially when the weather's cold, you're in your bed, it's so comfortable. And this morning, I knew I was supposed to go to the gym, so I brought my gym bag. But man, I was like, should I go? But it's so nice, you know, I think I'm getting a little sick, you know, I think I need to rest a little bit. We have a natural tendency to want comfort and convenience in our lives. And it's not a bad thing in and of itself, you know. Jesus is not saying be inconvenient for the sake of being inconvenient. You know, inconvenience is not our goal, but convenience should not be our goal either. You know, our goal is obedience, and if convenience is getting in the way of obeying God, then we need to lay that down. And you know, Peter's concern for Jesus is so natural. Peter says, Jesus, don't say that. Because Jesus is talking about going to on the, you know, going to on the cross and die. He doesn't talk about the cross, but he's going to suffer and being killed by the by these people. And Peter is saying, Jesus, don't talk like that. You know, what are you talking about? You're not going to die. You know, you're our leader. You know, we're going to protect you. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to, you know, you're going to be okay. And it's a natural concern, right? Any good follower, if a leader was saying things like that, would say, don't do that. But Jesus' rebuke is so harsh. He says, get behind me, Satan. You know, and I think what Jesus is saying is it's, that's because it's our natural tendency to want comfort and convenience. But Jesus is saying, no, if that desire gets in the way of you obeying God, if you're putting your interest in your own comfort and convenience and how you're going to, you know, make your own life better or easier, you need to lay that down and set your interest in set your mind on God's interest. And you know, Jesus says, try to save your life, you'll lose it, but lose it for me, you'll find it. Let's turn to another passage in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 through 22. Jesus had no problems asking for hard things of his followers. You know, I said earlier that problem with our modern Christianity is that we demand too little of ourselves. You know, actually when Jesus, what he demands is much greater. And in Matthew 8, verse 18 through 22, he says, now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. Jesus had no problems asking for hard things of his followers. There's a disciple that says, God, let me just bury my father, and then I'll come and follow you. To me, I would say, oh, that's reasonable. You know? Yeah, go ahead, bury your father, and then come and follow me. But Jesus doesn't have a problem demanding you to do something hard. He says, actually, no. Let the dead bury their own dead, and you follow me. And to us, it may sound unreasonable. You're like, but Jesus, that's unreasonable. But Jesus knows the heart of every situation, the heart of every man. There, most scholars will explain this by saying, you know, that this man, the father was not actually dead at the time. He was saying, let me wait until the father dies, and then I'm going to bury him, and then I'm going to follow you. And Jesus is saying, no, let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me right now. But, you know, Jesus knows the heart of every man. So if you read through the Gospels, Jesus will always comfort the afflicted, but afflict the comforted. You know, if somebody is in a situation where they're really in need and broken, Jesus comes and really brings comfort and says, here, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will not, you know, my burden is light and I'm humble and gentle and follow me kind of thing. But then when he talks to these people that are comfortable already, and Jesus can see that what they need is some a challenge, you know, he will afflict the comforted and demand and say, you deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You know, you'll say to Satan, Peter, get behind me, Satan. And he'll say to this guy, let the dead bury their own dead and you follow me. And he has no problem demanding things out of his followers. But you know what's great is that after the demand and after we, there's a call to obedience, but when we obey God and we deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him, the promise is there as well. The promise of this life. You know, Jesus says, if you try to find life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find life. You know, there is a promise of life that comes from Jesus when we choose to follow him. And when we choose to deny ourselves. And when we, like Paul and Barnabas, we risk our life for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a promise of life that comes. And there's an example of this in 1 Kings chapter 17. We don't have time to go there, but I'll just tell you about it. There's this prophet Elijah, and he is traveling, and there's a drought in the land. And so he comes upon this home of this widow, and she's looks all destitute. And Elijah comes to her and says, "Hey, could you give me a cup of water?" And the woman says, "Okay." And then when she's on her way out, Elijah says, "Actually, also, can you also bake me a piece of bread?" And the woman turns to Elijah and says, "Actually, Elijah, Prophet Elijah, I don't have any bread. Actually, we only have enough flour and oil to make one cake. And my plan was to make a cake for me and my son. And we're going to eat that last piece of cake. And then we're just going to wait for our death to come." And what does Elijah do to that poor widow who is about to just basically die because she doesn't have anything else? Elijah says, "Actually, that's fine. You can do that. But first, make me a piece of bread with what you have and bring me some water. And then you go make your bread and drink your water." You know, there's that demand. It's like, wow, that's so unreasonable. I would be like, "Elijah, that's messed up. This poor widow has nothing and you're demanding of her some bread and some water." But Elijah says this as well. He says, "You bring me the piece of bread and brings me some water, and then make for yourself bread and water. And what's going to happen is your oil is not going to run out." He actually promises her that. So then she goes and she bakes the bread and brings it to Elijah first, serves him, and then she makes bread for herself and the son. And then she finds that the oil never runs out until the drought ends. And same thing for us. You know, Jesus would demand of us, you know, "Give up your life for me. Choose me, you know, follow me, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me." But the promise is there of eternal life and also life to the fullest here on this earth. You know, he doesn't leave us hanging. Our call to discipleship is not your life is going to be miserable. You follow me, you're going to have to just give up everything. Your life is going to be miserable and that's it, but follow me. No, but the promise is so glorious. Is you follow me, you're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to risk your life, give up your own life to follow me. But when you do that, I'm going to give you something so much greater. You know, my life that I give to you is going to be so much greater than you could ever have imagined. So come and follow me and be my disciple. And I just wanted to encourage us with that, you know, with especially that statement, Paul and Barnabas, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And would that be said of us? And I believe that that's the calling for each of us. I mean, what that looks like and how that works out in each of our lives is different, but that call to give up our lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is the same for all of us. You know, and I pray and I hope that that will be something that's said of me, you know, as I live my life. And I hope that that will be something that's said of you guys as well. And us as a church, that we would be a church that doesn't just succumb to our natural tendency for comfort and convenience all the time. But if that gets in the way of obedience, that we would, you know, cut that off and choose obedience. You know, we would say to that, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest." And then we would set our mind on God's interest and follow him. So Janella is going to come and lead us in some worship. Let's just go before the Lord. And, yeah, let's just go before him as we are and say, "God, you know, sometimes we're weak, sometimes that's so hard, God. I don't even know if that's possible, but would you come and help us, you know, this morning?" So I'll just pray for us, and then let's worship God with this song, and then we'll have a prayer time together. Father, I just thank you for this passage. God, it's a challenge, Lord, for me, and I'm sure for all of us, Lord, to be a disciple. God, you know, I pray that you will help us to understand that what you ask of us, God, is really quite big, Lord. That you're, you know, this call to discipleship, Lord, is really laying down our own lives, laying down our own comforts, laying down our own convenience to follow you. And I pray, God, that you'll help us to to do that, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us, God, of areas in our lives where we need to lay down? If there's anything we need to turn away from, I pray that you will speak to us, God. And I thank you, Lord, that there is no condemnation, God, for those that are in Christ Jesus. So if there's any conviction of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and speak to us, Lord, and just encourage us, God, and bring us closer into your presence this morning, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God, we pray that you will give us that that passion, that obsession, Lord, to follow you and to live for you, God, in this life. Let's go to our group prayer focus. Let's just first pray for our brothers and sisters that are going through a tough time. There's many of us whose family members are ill. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for God's comfort in the family and for that individual. Let's also pray for those of us that are seeking for a job. You know, let's pray that God will provide for them, really meet all their needs. And let's pray together. We pray for Belinda, who's still recovering from the surgery. Janine Basareva, who's got cancer, going through chemo. Let's pray for her family. Please pray for Charles, Alex, Kian's mom, and others of us that you are aware of that have family members that are ill. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for God's healing, and let's pray that God would really move in that family. And, let's pray together. Thank you. pray for the local ministries in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the local churches. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong, Sports Services International, Shanti Ministry, Masses Beauty. Let's also pray for face-to-face, Zengshan College, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's pray God's blessing over these ministries and that they will be able to hear from God clearly and have good direction and vision for their ministries. That God will encourage them and anoint them. So let's pray for these local ministries. Let's pray for the SP ministries. Let's pray for the worship team, the welcoming team, men and women's ministries, and local outreach with Pastor Sophia. Let's pray that each of those teams will have the anointing of God upon them, and that they'll be able to really serve the church with a good heart. And let's pray for God's direction and guidance for them as well. So let's pray for these ministries. Pray for McCain House Church that's meeting tonight, the last house church gathering. And let's pray for the SP weekend activity. Tomorrow there is basketball in the morning. And the EG, Experiencing God group, is going on their EG retreat this weekend. So let's pray for them. Let's pray that they have a great time. And IP is gathering tonight, tomorrow. IP is meeting tomorrow. And then let's just pray for Sunday service. Let's pray. Jung will be leading worship. So let's pray for him and his team. And P-Sam will be preaching. So let's pray for P-Sam's message. So let's just cover the SP weekend activity. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us, God. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you have called us to be your disciples, God. I pray that every single one of us will be able to follow that calling, Lord. And I pray for Holy Spirit, your strength, God. We cannot do this without you. So Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us up, Lord, and give us, you know, that desire and the commitment, Lord, and the devotion to you. So come and move in our lives. We welcome you and invite you into our hearts, God. And today I pray that we'll be able to bring joy to your heart, bring your glory today and all that we're doing. And I pray that we'll get to know you a little better today. Holy Spirit, would you lead us today, God? I thank you that you're always with us. And we depend on you, Lord, and we look to you. We thank you, we love you, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.